If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Listener thinks we should stop calling it the Eurovision Song Contest, considering it's not about singing anymore, and that's fine, says one of our listeners. Somebody else saying, tell Joe that the cattle might be non-binary. Don't be getting me into trouble now. I'm in stitches laughing at Joe. Thingamabobs, please get that woman on once a week. We would if we could find her, you say, but you never know where Joe is going to be. Yeah, lots of people have to say how funny Joe was and how great it was to hear her today. Lots of people in agreement with Patrick as well, and saying that we should be rejoicing about Bambi Thug and applauding Bambi Thug. Another listener says, Fran, it's a she or a he. This business is rubbish, confusing our young kids. Gay or straight, he or she, that's it. Everything else is bonkers and disturbing. Bambi Thug's performance was not music. She may have a nice voice, but she was just roaring. It was just horrendous, says the listener. Somebody else saying, Fran, I didn't watch Eurovision, but it was nice to watch a news bulletin and hear about Irish news instead of war and tents and migration and all of that. And another person saying Bambi Thug was offensive on the stage and is nothing short of Satanism. It says here, and lots more in on that. But anyway, let us move on, because I want to talk farming. And glad to be joined by Anne O'Donoghue, senior news correspondent with the Farmers Journal. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks very much for having me on.
Very welcome indeed. TB trends are worsening on farms. That's rather worrying, isn't it, Anne?
Yes, Fran. Unfortunately, good that you had a bit of light news in your last segment, because these figures aren't going to do anything for your listeners. Yes, no. TB numbers continue to go in the wrong direction. The 12-month rolling herd incidence for TB in the country has gone above 5% for the first time in a decade. I suppose to give your listeners a little bit of context, that figure is now at 5.06%. This time last year, it was at 4.45%. Wow. And then if you go back as far as 2018, that was at 3.5%. Now, I know people listening at home might say it's not the biggest jump, but when you multiply that out into numbers and look at the number of herds, it is quite significant. And also, I suppose, going above 5% for the first time in a decade really does show.
And what's happening, Anne? What's driving this?
I suppose that's the kind of million-dollar question, Fran, isn't it? What is driving this? And that is kind of another element to this story that was on the front page of the Farmer Journal from my colleague Noel Barden. Yeah. There seems to be a bit of passing the football around to what is driving this, and, you know, who's the bit of the blame game, who's the blame? These figures came from a parliamentary question that was answered by the Minister for Agriculture. And he said that progress had stalled due to lack of stakeholder engagement. And he said, without directly addressing cattle-to-cattle spread, current TB levels would not fall. So I suppose you kind of read between the lines there, that's saying that maybe the wildlife side is kept under control, but it's cattle-to-cattle spread that needs to be addressed. Now, since the Minister has softened his stance on this considerably, and he said that he used incorrect language in that regard, and you know, there's pushback from, I suppose, farm organisations, and you know, there's a lot of work going on in the TB forum. So he just said that, you know, more work needs to be done overall. So I suppose we haven't arrived at a specific conclusion there. But I suppose to bring it back to TIP for the listeners, I dug out a couple of TB figures for Tipperary. And in Tipperary, a bit of national average, actually, Fran. In North Tip, the herd incidence is currently 6.48%. And then in 2023, there were just under 200 herds. There was 199 herds in Tip restricted in 2023 with 1,301 reactors. And then not to make it a competition or anything, but to move to South Tip, that's just the way they're broken up. The herd incidence in South Tip is 5.76% with 176 herds restricted in 2023 and 1,100 reactors there in South Tip. So I suppose even when you, for me, for listeners, it's easier to bring, instead of that kind of 5% nationally, to bring that into their own, you know, north south locality might make things a bit more stark, or be able to kind of equate those figures
for
easier.
Sure. And but the result of getting an indication then that you have TB in your herd, what happens then? Because a lot of non-farmers out there wouldn't be across this, Anne.
So the term that's used, Fran, is locked up. So basically, when you have TB, your animals that are on your farm are staying there until you're free of TB. So basically then you test again in 3 to 4 months. if you have, you might have no more reactors and you could be free. If you continue to have reactors to be, well, then you continue to be locked up. For a lot of farmers, they might just have one or two animals reacting and they might be clear again. That would be the hope. Yes. And for some farmers, it's a very long, drawn-out process. But I should just say for non-farmers, friend, just to make clear, any animal that is a TB reactor, it is put down.
Right, so they are slaughtered. It's interesting, isn't it? All right, I know McConnell got into a lot of trouble for his language around it, and I suppose for critiquing the farm organisations particularly. But as you say, he's rolled back on that a bit.
Yes, has rolled back on that. There was pushback because, as I said, a lot of people are putting a lot of effort into the TB forum, farm organisations, experts, all those stakeholders who are, I suppose, trying to, you know, get the research, get behind this thing. As you said to me, you know, what's driving this? Well, that's, you know, the huge body of work going into trying to find out what's driving this. So he significantly rolled back on that when he was contacted by the Farmers Journal.
Something I touched on with Katrina last week, but it's coming up again in the journal this week, how the changing weather will bring new farm diseases. And again, this is not good news, Anne.
No, definitely not good news, Fran. It's the one piece in the Farmers Journal for me this week that is, you know, when you read about TB and things, you've heard it before, and it's kind of a bit, you know, you've maybe been a bit desensitized. This piece from Trina Morrissey, who I know you have on the show regularly, as a Tip native, I would say it's a bit frightening, to be honest, because when it comes to climate change, the farmers are well aware that even if you look at the heavy rainfall that the farmers in Tip would have experienced, along with lots of other areas of the country this spring, you know that it's affecting your farms and turn your land management. But I think if you don't see something, you can't quantify it. Mm. So this is, Katrina has looked at the effect climate change is having on disease pressures and livestock and farms. And there's huge, wide-ranging number of implications for climate change in terms of disease and livestock. And if anybody's particularly interested in this topic, definitely check out that one because there's a huge amount of detail. You'd want to give me another hour. You want to knock off the next show and give me an hour to get through all this just to give listeners a flavour. Take something that everyone knows, midget.
Yes.
So, a lot of listeners will have heard of blue tongue.
Yeah.
And blue tongue, that's a disease that it kind of spread from mainland Europe to the UK. Ireland, thankfully, is still free of blue tongue. And that's, I suppose, one thing that I did take. You know, if you're looking for a silver lining from this, as an island, I suppose we do have some bit of protection to some of the disease there spread. So, that is, you know, a good thing. But, you know, blue tongue is spread to midges. With increased warming, midge population and ticks and all things like that are going to increase. That's going to increase the circulation of those diseases. Then, unfortunately, on the other hand, in terms of weather conditions, that's also going to have an implication, for example, for diseases like liver fluke. And then if you're looking, kind of breaking it down even further in terms of, you know, cow fertility, the ability to grow grass, which obviously impacted by drought and also by heavy rainfall, will be affected by that.
And linking in with our previous conversation, I mean, is there also a case to be made that TB could be on the increase again due to these symptoms of climate change?
Yes, absolutely. And Katrina has that covered off there, Fran. Warmer weather will bring cattle closer to badgers, which we know some badgers do spread TB. So just for experts, and this is coming from experts now, Katrina has interviewed the experts for this piece. For example, badgers might be, during areas of drought, might be coming to drink from water troughs for cattle, spreading TB. Also, if in periods of drought, cattle grazing out closer into the margins and may come closer in contact with badger pests.
It's interesting. Just to finish off, Anne, can I just ask you what we've learned from the co-op annual reports? Because the reports from 2023 are available.
Yes, so my colleague in the agribusiness side of the house, Lorcan Mochitelli, over the last number of weeks in the paper, anybody who's reading it will see that he's kind of broken down all the different dairy co-op reports. And this, I think, is a really great piece, just kind of wrapping up the whole thing. He kind of picked out, I suppose, the themes across them all. None of them positive, unfortunately, all of the co-ops described here are challenging, and they were all in agreement that expansion is behind us. Milk supply is back in 2024, obviously due to the weather of the spring that we've mentioned, and I know that you've covered in your show. The CSO is quoting milk supply for the first 2 months of the year has been back 8% compared to the same period last year. Protein intake is down across the board. Larkin gives, as the kind of business guru, he gives an interesting take on things. You know, business cycles, and I said, read his piece, he's the business guru, but business cycles go expansion, consolidation. Dairy is now in a period of consolidation. However, it's a slightly different, I suppose, your normal business cycle is the point that he's making. In that, you know, the dairy expansion, it wasn't caused by an innovation. It was caused by a regulatory change in quotas being removed.
Yes.
So that kind of makes that consolidation much more stark, much more jarring. You can feel it a lot more as opposed to maybe a normal business cycle. And obviously then when it comes to Irish dairies, there is another looming, you know, factor in consolidation in terms of derogation and how that will play out in the coming months and years. So I suppose that will be a huge factor, and it's much more of a watch this space type thing.
Interesting times ahead for sure. Anne, great to talk to you today, and thanks for coming on with me, Anne. Thank you, and good morning to you. That's Anne O'Donoghue there, and Anne is a senior news correspondent with the Farmers Journal. Of course, the journal is on your shelves right now, and that's about it from me. Leanne produced, Ali looked after our content today. Stephen will take you through the time tunnel, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.
Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.